First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go to catch all the latest updates on our, you can listen to the podcast there, or you can check out all the latest stories we're involved in. I tell you, while you're there, if you don't mind, join our RSS feed or our email list, and that way we can have everything sent directly to your inbox, so you'll never miss a show, you'll never miss any updates, you'll never miss investigations, you'll be more informed than most people in Louisville on the real deal that goes on here, and of course around the country as well. For you guys that are new to the show, you can call in at 858-683-1326, or you can call us at 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, just hit the little number one on your dial pad, and we appreciate you guys being there. There's always a bunch of you, and when you hit that little number one, we will know that you want to be heard on air. And additionally, for you guys who just like to chat and go back and forth and talk about all the events, you can go into the live chat that we have available as well. You can sign in using Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to. In the meantime, quick announcement. Ed Martin will not be here tonight. Apparently, Mr. Martin has, he's been invited to something, political events, and I'll let him explain that to y'all next week. But he's going to some political event out where his business is located at. So, you know, when you own a business, you got to hobnob every now and then. And this was one of those times where he just could not miss. So he will miss the show tonight, and that's okay. That's all right. It gives us plenty of time to talk because, as always, we have a lot to talk about. One quick sports update. We don't normally do sports, as you all know. However, we have been following the Kentucky Wildcats and Louisville Cardinals, of course, throughout the NCAA tournament. Both guys did an incredible job. So we've been waiting to see who is going to announce that who's going to go pro and things like that, especially from UK. John Calipari is known for recruiting the one-and-dones. These guys come in out of high school for 1 year, use the University of Kentucky so they can get noticed on a national stage and try to increase their NBA stock, and that's what Calipari likes to do. I think that these guys waste space, as far as I'm concerned, for people who could really use the education, who want the education, which is what school is supposed to be about. That's why we call it student-athlete. But, hey, that's not my choice to make. I don't make the rules. But the UK basketball player Julius Randle has decided to go ahead and announce he is going to enter the NBA draft. You can read the story at WFPL.org. But apparently, 6'9" Julius Randle is expected to be among the first five picks in the draft on June 26th. Now, you know, that raises one question. When you look at the reality of the situation, if you're a kid going to college for an education, yeah, the education will be with you for a lifetime. But here on the show a lot, we talk about how overeducated and how much we put too much importance on a college education these days in favor of people who can do a job, know the job, et cetera. So you've got a student athlete. As much as I think the students should stay in school to get their education, if they're going to go there, we're going to fund them and take that limited spot away from somebody else who could really use it. It's hard to fault Julius Randle for going into the NBA draft. He's a top five pick. He's a multimillionaire right out of the gate. Right out of the gate. Millions of dollars. How do you say no to that? You know, so as much as I don't like it, I do think that Randle may be making the right choice. Not sure. There's already been, he's the second Wildcat to declare for the draft. Freshman guard James Young announced last week that he was going to turn pro. So it's going to be interesting to see what's left because you still have even more people to consider here because we haven't even talked about the Harrison twins, who a lot of people expect to announce. They have until Sunday to make that announcement. We haven't talked about Alex Poitras. He's done an excellent job this year. His NBA stock should be up there a little bit. Dakari Johnson, I think Johnson should probably come back for another year, in my opinion. But Randle led scoring and rebounding for the Wildcats this year, so he's going to run with the money, as we expect. Additionally, we've got so much more to talk about the sports here, so we're going to move into it. I tell you, it's interesting because we have had a problem here in this town for a long time. We have been talking about this a lot since March the 22nd. March the 22nd, as everybody knows, was when the mob violence started around Waterfront Park area and continued on. A lot of people got hurt. It was a black gang, a youth gang, that was out hurting people. We now believe that it was the YNO gang. And we have denied forever and ever and ever that we have a gang problem in Louisville. That has been the perpetuating lie for so long, it's unbelievable. And we have always told the truth on this show about this problem. We have always told the truth about why downtown Louisville cannot succeed and why other surrounding areas will not succeed with this problem. We have young black street gangs that are tearing up the neighborhood. Now, everybody's going to say, well, you're a racist because white people get in trouble too. Yes, they do. But we don't see white gangs out there getting arrested. We don't see a white gang of 100 or 200 people that's well-armed. That means guns and ammo, folks. Think about that one. You know, and of course, you know, teenagers can't get this stuff legally. So when I hear everybody scream about gun rights, I have to laugh. Because the only people the gun laws apply to are law-abiding citizens. The criminals are still going to have them. We're going to get to a little bit more of that in a minute. But we now have a story out at the Conservative Treehouse, and I'm going to put this link in the chat room for anybody who wants to go in there and get it. But we now have this story out from the Conservative Treehouse that tells us all about the FBI and how they are assisting Louisville police because of our gang problem. There was an FBI memo distributed to law enforcement agencies last month that was telling the whole world that they had intelligence, at that time unverified, that there's a gang called YNO, which stands for Young and Off That. All right. It was organized last summer at Frost Middle School, and it has spread to all these other schools, and that its members are armed in a major way. As we pointed out in a story last week we talked to you about, you know, the YNO has been breaking into these gun trains and stealing arms and ammo. Now, I don't know if you caught this part, that this was organized at Frost Middle School. We're talking about 12, 13, 14-year-old kids here who are already out stealing guns and taking to the streets to commit crime and do criminal acts. And in the communities that they're in, that is known as street cred. So they become known as badasses, and it fills this inflated ego based on the wrong things in this world. That's the YNO. The FBI memo is telling the whole world that the YNO is armed in a major way, that it was organized last summer at Frost Middle School, and it has spread all over schools. The YNO didn't originate here, folks. It did not originate here. As a matter of fact, I'm working to get an interview with a woman by the name of Karen Afford in Chicago. She has got a lot to tell us about what direction we're really going on in Louisville, Kentucky, and where these gangs are taking us, and how unprepared and how stupid we really are. The FBI memo also says that they're concerned about the gangs showing up in large numbers at the Kentucky Derby Festival Pegasus Parade on May the 1st next week. That's not a surprise to me. You know how easy it is to get lost in a parade? There was violence at Waterfront Park. Was it the YNO? I don't know. But the police can't protect you. Let's get real here. When you need a police in seconds, they're there in minutes, as my good friend Dale the Truth likes to say. While Greg Fisher was telling the whole world last week at Thunder over Louisville, you know, he wanted both law-abiding citizens and criminals to leave their guns at home. If 12- and 13-year-old kids are robbing a gun train and stealing arms and going into middle schools and going into neighborhoods and terrorizing everything and anything in its path, do you honestly think that a statement by this mayor is going to make any difference at all? It's not. And now we have the FBI involved in Louisville because Louisville can't handle their own business, because Louisville refuses to acknowledge that we have this problem. They refuse to acknowledge it. Louisville Metro Police spokesman Phil Russell was at a news conference last Wednesday and said that there had been threats of violence made against the parade. The FBI has verified that, and he says he's investigating assertions that were found within the FBI memo. The news organizations, including Courier-Journal and those guys, got copies of it. You know, you have to ask yourself, what's really going on here? What's really going on here? The chief division counsel for the FBI in Louisville, Mary Trotman, was interviewed and said that the FBI is evaluating the information. The information came from several sources. And she also wanted to point out that this memo was only intended for law enforcement. Guess what? We got it. There you go. So we have to look at all of this. Do we have a gang problem in Louisville? Yes. Has this problem been ignored for years? Yes. Are these gangs just popping up out of nowhere? No. We've got gangs coming from Chicago, Detroit, go up and down the 65 corridor, as far as you want to go, all the way down to Florida. The guns, the ammo, the drugs, the gangs all run up and down the 65 corridor. And all of this finds a new melting pot to blend into. We're just the next latest town that this scum comes to, organizes, and destroys. The gangs destroyed New York or Detroit and still are. 65, folks. We all know about Chicago. Now the YNO that originated there is in Louisville now in full force and getting bigger. These guys know how to organize and demonstrate. They're almost like a union, aren't they? But they know how to organize and demonstrate, and they know how to get to these 12- and 13-year-old kids. And the city of Louisville is paying a price right now because of all the political correctness garbage that has come from the Democratic mafia in this town and the so-called black leaders in the poorest West End community that we have. We have these problems. When you have kids in middle school, young black kids in middle school, who think that it's okay to carry handguns and attack people, stores, and everything in their community that they feel like they want to attack, and there's no repercussions for it, it should be disturbing. For me, it is. For me, it is. And there's not one damn thing the police can do about it. Not one damn thing. I mean, let's face the reality here. The police can't even arrest these kids. If they catch a kid out doing this kind of stuff, unless they catch them doing some sort of a major criminal act, they can't even go there and take a kid and arrest him or legally detain him. I mean, according to Mulcher, he testified and told a committee that the juvenile laws have rendered the officers ineffective because they cannot legally detain children in most instances. Think about that. The laws in this town are stacked in favor of the criminal kids. So you see these 18-year-old and up gang members going out there getting these 12, 13, and 14-year-old kids, organizing them. These kids have nothing to look forward to because they've never been shown anything different. Teaching them to get organized and teaching them how to play the system and game the system. Because in most instances, the police can't even detain them. They can tell a cop to shove it up his ass and walk away. And a cop's going to say, okay. That's the reality here. That's the reality. And I tell you, it makes it even more disturbing is because of this next little gem, the Courier-Journal. As always, the politicians decide they want to do damage control, not provide real solutions, or get involved in solving or fixing a problem. They want to do damage control. So here's the latest attempt to do damage control. According to the Courier-Journal story, Louisville officials are now planning to take a closer look at whether the city needs to beef up its police force after a spate of violence downtown last month raised new questions about whether LMPD has enough officers on the streets. These aren't new questions. Once again, they're going to do a study. They're not going to be proactive in anything. They're going to be reactive, and they have to study everything for months or years to be reactive before they can even put anything into place. By then, the problem has gotten worse. Supposedly, LMPD officials are now working with Metro Council members to draft a plan that is going to hire experts who could advise the city on the appropriate police force size. And this is according to police spokesman Dwight Mitchell and Metro Council President Jim I Am the King. This is a joke, and I'll tell you why it's a joke. Back at the end of 2005, when I had made the decision to run for mayor here in Louisville in 2006, I was talking about what I call the DTS plan, the Drugs, Thugs, and Slugs plan. I was talking about the street gangs and how big the problem really was. I was researching every available credible source and talking to every available person I could to help me understand everything there was to know about funding and the police shortages and everything else that are the problem right here. That is the first time I met current Metro Councilman David James. David James was former LMPD. He was then the current chief of the KBI, the very first police chief of the KBI, the Kentucky Bureau of Investigation, which is the state's, Kentucky's version of the FBI. It's a state version of the federal FBI. He was the first chief to serve with the KBI. David James knew more about policing and what we needed than anybody out there. And he was gracious enough at that level to sit down with me as a no-name and help me understand what we needed in this town. So to sit here and say that the Louisville officials, that this is being forced up because of the spate of recent violence downtown last month, is a crock. This is a conversation that's been going on for years and years and years. At that time, our current police force was 1,200 people. It was well below what was considered normal, and it was well below what was considered necessary for a city of our size. Even then, and it's just gotten worse. At that point, I had drafted a plan to put it together to put an additional 200 officers on the street that were necessary. It wasn't going to be enough, but it was necessary. Found a way to channel funding for that so it wasn't going to cost the taxpayers all this money here in Kentucky. The federal money they had all kinds of federal money that was going to help with that along that endeavor. I mean, the money was available. It was already allocated. It was already going to be spent. It wasn't asking for no new taxes. It wasn't asking for no new revenue source. It was using the existing money that had already been allocated. And it was going to put 200 more officers on the streets in Louisville to deal with this growing gang problem. Folks, this was 2005. We knew that there was a problem. But everybody turned their head. Everybody turned their head. Tried everything that could possibly humanly be done to make that an issue. But everybody wanted to hear their little cheerleader, Jerry Rah-Rah Abramson, tell us about how great and safe Louisville was. And anybody that actually lives here, especially in the poorest areas of town like the West End, or goes anywhere around 4th Street Live in the KFC Yum Center, know better. The police, rather than work on the crime, were busy writing reports and lying about where the crimes occurred, so that they could fill some piece of paper to make it appear that our downtown entertainment district was pure as the driven snow, which was a lie. They were actually writing police reports and using a junk address to an abandoned lot blocks away from where any incidents occurred just so that they wouldn't show up in the zip code on some FBI's data report so that Louisville will appear to be safe. We now know all those were lies. Jim King knew about this in 2005. He's known about this forever. Former police chief Robert White and his former two henchmen and current assistant chief Yvette, I screwed my way into the job at Gentry, and Kenton Buckner. They knew all of this. They didn't care. They don't care now. They only care now because Yvette Gentry got caught not doing a damn thing about it. She wasn't even filling in Chief Police Steve Conrad on what was really going on until after March 22nd event. The current police chief, that's what you have deputy for, right? But you can't get rid of Yvette Gentry or Kenton Buckner. No, 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 no. Because the Democratic Mafia wants these guys to stay in there. Who do you think is benefiting from the drugs and the guns and the thugs and the slugs? It's the Democratic Mafia leadership here. The reason they allow all this stuff to get destroyed is so that they can go in and find an excuse to give you money for so-called revitalization that never happens. They lie, cheat, and steal, and they keep power, and they still allow these areas to continue eroding. It is a disgusting display by these so-called elected leaders. Council President Jim King knows that this has been a serious issue for years. He knows this. But now, because everybody ignored it until you couldn't ignore it, because it had to make the media, because of people like bloggers, internet, online, radio shows, everything is so easily accessible now by just about anybody, complete with uploaded YouTube videos by somebody's personal cell phone. The underground media makes a mockery of mainstream media. They can no longer cover these things up in most cases. They could choose to ignore it, but they can't cover it up because the truth always outs. Thank God for these people. But for somebody to sit here and write a story and think this is a good thing, like the Courier Journal, sitting here writing a story talking about how Louisville officials are planning a closer look at whether we need more police or not, and they're going to meet with the Metro Council and they're going to do all these things. We're going to really, really look at this because that's what we do. We look at everything and then we make decisions, except they never make any decisions. And the decisions they make are always either too late or too dumb to even fathom. That's what your Democratic Mafia elected officials do in this town. So to sit here and try to act like we haven't known about this problem for all these years, but now we're going to get serious about it because now we know by leadership should be an insult. It should be an insult to anybody and everybody. We have been lied to. We have been cheated. We have been screwed for too long. I'm fed up. You should be too. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to switch gears on a couple of other things. Remember, folks, caller numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate you being there. But hit that little number one on your dial pad. It sends me a flag. Let me know that you want to be heard on air. We'll be right back. You listen to the Ed Sprengsa Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Sprengsa of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Back. Yes, welcome back to the Ed Sprengsa Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. I tell you, I just get so fed up with the stupidity of so-called elected officials. I mean, we elect guys to represent all of us. I can't believe that this is the best we can expect of representation at any level, whether that's in Louisville, whether that's in Kentucky, or whether that's in the White House or the Congress. Surely, surely, we have people that are better decision makers than what we've been force-fed for several years now, for the last few decades, to be honest with you. It is nuts. I tell you, it really is. And you know, you get excited sometimes, and you think you've got a new person that's going to be able to stand up. We've got a new guy that's going to be in, you know, in running for office, and this guy isn't owned and lock, stock, and barrel by all these other people, and this is a good thing, and we really want to give them a chance, except what we find out is most of the time they turn out to be the same as the guy that's already there. They're just full of lies and deception as well. And I hate to say this, but I have to bring up a case in point, if you will. Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin is a Republican, a so-called Republican, because I think you have to stretch to make that happen with him. But he is a so-called conservative Tea Party Republican that is taking on one of the most powerful people in Congress, current Minority Leader Senator Mitch McConnell. Now, why do I bring Matt Bevin up into all of this when I'm making these assertions that everybody is one of the same? Because Matt Bevin has proven just that. He had a golden goose, and I've mentioned this before. He had a golden goose, the key to the White House, if you will, the key to anywhere you want to put it, insert name here, key to the city, given to him the day that he announced he was going to run for this office. Because Mitch McConnell immediately did what Mitch McConnell does. Mitch McConnell went straight to the gutter and started slinging mud at Matt Bevin. And it made the whole world say, wait, who is Matt Bevin? And Matt Bevin went right to the gutter and fell straight in line with Mitch McConnell's campaign strategy. It's the truth. So instead of letting everybody know who he was and how he was different, he was just trading jabs with Mitch McConnell and slinging mud so it showed he was one and the same. But more importantly, he got caught in his own damn lies. Joe Girth over at the Courier-Journal, sometimes we're friends, sometimes we're a foe. I can take or leave Joe when it comes to political stuff. On a personal level, I think Joe is a great guy. But Monday on KET, host Bill Goodman asked Matt Bevin to clarify. He said to take a second or two to clarify the articles that, you know, Mitch McConnell had put out ads and everything else that make the claim that said that Matt Bevin was affiliated with MIT. So what does Matt Bevin do? He immediately goes out there and tries to tell us the truth, right? So he goes and tells the whole world it's an absolute lie made up by Mitch McConnell. It's a smokescreen, and it's typical because he runs campaigns like that. He said that Mitch McConnell literally had a kid out there in the parking lot filming them as they came in for the KET event and taking pictures of everybody who walked in and out of that building. Well, Mitch McConnell probably did. I'll be quite honest with you. Just about anybody and everybody who runs for politics has somebody taking pictures and trying to identify who is running with their opponent, who is with their opponent, who they're associated with. Because it's all become negative. It's no longer about what we're doing for we the people. It's all about how can I maintain this office for my own ego, my own money, and my own self-worth. But why is this a problem for Matt Bevin? Because Matt Bevin claims unequivocally that Mitch McConnell lied about saying that Matt Bevin claimed to study at MIT, which was not true. He did not study at MIT. He went to some sort of a class there. It was an executive education program that MIT was sponsoring. But he did not attend the Massachusetts Institute of Technology as a student. Well, Bill Goodman specifically mentioned, you know, Matt Bevin's LinkedIn account, because that's where the information came from. Because according to Mitch McConnell, it was on Matt Bevin's LinkedIn profile that said that he was with MIT. That was his education. Now, did Matt Bevin state unequivocally that he was a graduate of MIT? No. But on his LinkedIn profile, from that time, of which there are screenshots, and I will give you a copy of this real quick in the chat room for anybody that wants to go in there and get it. This is interesting because it proves what I'm saying. But, you know, so we've got this out there. Matt Bevin wants to claim that this was a lie, but yet here we are looking at a screenshot on Matt Bevin that clearly says under education on his LinkedIn profile, it says education, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So he wants the whole world to believe that he was educated at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Is that a lie? Is that a falsehood? One can make the claim that it did, and so did Mitch McConnell. But he swears up and down that it was never up there, it never looked like that, that it was all a 100% fabrication by Mitch McConnell. Again, his words were that this is 100% fabrication by Mitch McConnell. Yet now today, as of yesterday, according to the screenshot that Joe Girth got, now we're list education. It says School of Life. It says School of Life. So he took the education part of MIT out because he got caught. And then he wants to lie and say that it was all a lie in the beginning, even though with today's technology, of which Matt Bevin should be fully aware, you can prove that it wasn't a lie. Now, I'm not telling you to go vote for Mr. McConnell. I'm not telling you to vote for Matt Bevin. Quite frankly, I'm on the fence either way right now. I think Mr. McConnell has done some great things in Congress, but I also think that it's time Mr. McConnell maybe needs to retire. Let's bring some fresh blood in. But why is it that these are the choices that are given to us? You have a grand opportunity to step up to the plate in front of a national audience and prove that you're capable of doing this job for the first time. Remember, nobody knew who Matt Bevin was until Mitch McConnell put him on a map. And then as time goes on, you continue making up your own lies about your past. Why is it that somebody in Matt Bevin's campaign has not talked to him about how to run a clean campaign, one that you can be proud of, and one that really relates and touches on the voters? Most of the people in this country don't even vote anymore. Those are the people we need to inspire. We don't need to inspire the party hacks. We need to inspire the people who are sitting at home on the couch thinking that it doesn't make a difference. But here you've got a great opportunity. Matt Bevin has gotten Tea Party support, and it's a tepid Tea Party support. It's only because the Tea Party can't really go with Mitch McConnell, because they've chastised him too much. Matt Bevin was the only other Republican candidate out there, or so-called conservative candidate. I'll give you a case in point. I went to a Louisville Tea Party meeting Friday night. Rarely do I attend those type of events. I did this one intentionally because I knew there were going to be some candidates there. But more importantly, it's because the guest speaker was a gentleman by the name of Wayman Eddings, and I would like you guys here locally to look that guy up. Wayman Eddings is a very intelligent gentleman, really trying to make a difference. He's an African-American trying to work out and make a difference in the African-American community. Somebody that I think really has real leadership skills going forward to help make a difference, to clean up the problems that we have within his community. And Wayman Eddings, I get inspired by talking to him one-on-one. So I went there solely to listen to this. But one of the original founding members of the Louisville Tea Party was also one of the speakers, and he was talking about how the Tea Party had endorsed Matt Bevin. And he made one crucial statement in that when he was speaking about this that resonated with me and my thought process. He said, "We all know Matt Bevin isn't a perfect candidate, but it is what it is." Now think about that statement. If you were just a few weeks away from the election and Matt Bevin has been out there campaigning for weeks, months, and the people who have given you their endorsement and put their support behind you make a statement like that to an open audience, what if Mitch McConnell has somebody in there? if your leadership that has given you this endorsement can't do give you a more glowing endorsement than that, that ought to tell you enough about that candidate, about what endorsements are worth. That's why I never really care a lot about endorsements from people, peers, or organizations. Do I give personal endorsements? Yes, I do. For what it's worth, the people that know me know that I'm not going to endorse anybody that I don't believe in. I gave a personal endorsement last night to county attorney candidate Karen Faulkner versus current county attorney Michael Connell, because Michael Connell is a shifty, no-good political hack, in my opinion. So I gave a personal endorsement to Karen Faulkner, and I stand by that, and I will. Does that mean that I have the weight of the so-called Louisville Tea Party and these so-called organizations who really care about the people? No. But there's 150,000 people in this town that pay attention to me. And if it resonates with those 150,000 people, I don't expect them to vote for Karen Faulkner because I said so. I expect those 150,000 people to get online and say, hey, who is Karen Faulkner? Let's find out more about her. And let's see if we believe that she is a better candidate choice than Michael Connell. And that's an individual choice all of us have to make. So I'm very disturbed that Matt Bevin is thinking that he is going to be able to do something when he can't even be honest with himself because he's getting faulty campaign advice. And even the people that have already endorsed him aren't really behind him. It's really disturbing to me. I tell you, I want to go into another story, a national story, completely away from the Matt Bevin issue and the election. And I tell you why, because I told you we would get more on guns in a few minutes. We talked about the YNO, Young and Off That Gang, that is permeating Louisville middle schools right now. We talked about how the FBI is now so worried about Louisville that they're involved, how the LMPD and the Metro Council have not done anything but give us more rhetoric. But what's disturbing is the YNO is out there robbing the gun train that comes in and out of Louisville. They are heavily armed, very well armed, and very, very dangerous. Now, why would I bring that up again in relation to this? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have a story out today at Kentucky.com. You can go there and read it yourself. And it talks about retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. John Paul Stevens, as we know, retired from the court at age 90. He has just written his second book. And what he is calling for is about six different changes to the Constitution. He wants six different changes to the Constitution. Now, we know that John Paul Stevens is a big liberal. But two of those are related to guns. One of those would abolish the death penalty. And the other two would limit spending in elections and rein in the way that the partisan parties, the two-party system, draws up electoral districts. So there's your six. I want to focus on guns for a minute because I tell you, he believes and understands that these six things that he wants to change are the same six things that he voted against when he was on the Supreme Court. So he is staying true to his convictions. I'll give him credit for that. But these changes that he wants to make would generally overrule Supreme Court decisions, every Supreme Court decision, major Supreme Court decision that he disagreed with. And when we talk about guns and campaign finance, those are ones he dissented on. The name of the book is Six Amendments, How and Why We Should Change the Constitution. But here's the disturbing thing for me. Stevens said in an interview with the AP that the Newton, Connecticut shootings in December of 2012 made him think about doing whatever we could to prevent such a thing from happening again. And he was bothered by news reports about gaps in the federal government database, the checking of background for prospective gun buyers, blah, 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 blah. You know, but here's the thing for me. He wants to control guns. He always has wanted gun control. Thank God he's a retired Supreme Court justice. And when you look at this in play, the six things that he thinks we need to change are the same six things that he dissented on when he was a Supreme Court justice. But this gun thing makes no sense to me because of, once again, law-abiding citizens are the only ones affected by gun control. Criminals don't care about laws. They could care less about gun control laws. They could care less about human life. Adam Lanza, the shooter in a Newtown, Connecticut shooting, killed a bunch of people. 20 first graders and 6 adult educators were killed by Adam Lanza. His mother owned the weapons. Adam Lanza stole the weapons from his mother and went on a shooting spree. But if Adam Lanza wanted to shoot somebody, he could have stolen from his next-door neighbor, not his mother. Who cares? He committed a criminal act to get a hold of the weapons and then used the weapons in another criminal act. That's the truth. And typically, when you get into these shootings, a law-abiding citizen, it doesn't intentionally kill anybody. Because if they're a law-abiding citizen, their intent isn't to kill. Because murder is against the law. I mean, use common sense here. So when we have this former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens sitting out here screaming about gun control, I have to go back from my local perspective right here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I have to sit here and say, wait a minute. We have a situation where 12 and 13-year-old kids are out there very heavily armed and very dangerous, stealing guns from a gun train. So they're stealing the guns. It's an illegal act. They are feeling empowered to do so. You have the FBI now warning us that this is a major problem. You have a police force who says that they can't even detain a juvenile in most cases. They can't even detain a juvenile in most cases. So we've got well-armed 12- and 13-year-old kids walking out there that the police can't touch, hands off. That's the political correctness that went crazy. But we want to make more gun control laws to take guns away from the law-abiding citizens who are only using their guns for self-protection and self-preservation of themselves, their family, or their property. See, that's always been a big problem for me. But I don't understand that logic. If you go to Detroit today, about 2 months ago now, the chief of police up there said, hey, he told all the citizens they needed to arm themselves up in Michigan. He told them, we can't guarantee your safety. Police chief told the citizens, we can't guarantee your safety. You have to arm yourself to guarantee your safety. Now think about that. When you need police in seconds, they're minutes away, as our friend Dale the Truth tells us. You have at least one brave officer, the chief of police, you have at least one brave person out there saying, we can't guarantee your safety, and telling the people to arm themselves. And what happened? Well, lo and behold, after that statement was made, a lot of the citizens started arming themselves. There have been almost a dozen shootings since that chief came out with that statement. Home burglaries, home invasions, and the homeowners have shot the criminals. They eliminated the threat, none of which have been charged with any criminal wrongdoing. I call that progress, folks. A criminal wants to get in and get out. They don't want to get caught because then they're just going to sit in jail and they're not going to get anything done. But when it's so bad, a police chief tells you that you have to arm yourself because he can't guarantee your safety, that tells us we've got some serious concerns. Right here in Louisville, it's a statement that we need to make. And when I see stories like this from former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens telling us we need more gun control, I keep thinking we need less. You know, everybody wants to look at, when you start thinking of guns and everything else, the mainstream liberal agenda is to tell the whole world guns are bad, and if everybody had a gun, it would be like the Wild West. Everybody would be shooting each other and all these things, just like we did in the Wild West. We'd be taking a step backwards. No, that's a lie. The Wild West wasn't even the Wild West. The Wild West is a fictionalized version of what people wanted to think about the old days so they could make a buck from it on TV. Seriously, you didn't have shootouts every damn day in the Wild West. Everybody was armed. You carried your rifle with you or you had your handgun stuck on your side. Everybody was armed. You didn't randomly attack people and shoot because you were going to get shot if you did. The Wild West wasn't even the Wild West. But that's the way the liberal agenda wants you to think. They want us to think that we have to have gun control so nobody has guns, and if nobody has guns, then there won't be any guns. That's garbage. That's garbage. The criminal will always have a gun if he wants a gun. There are places in Louisville you can go today and buy guns for 50 and 100 bucks. They're cheap. Stolen guns coming up and down that 65 corridor we talked about at the beginning of this show. Everything from Detroit to Florida. This isn't anything new. So don't try to sell me the liberal agenda, because it's a crock, especially when you get into gun control laws. I tell you, I just hope that the people can wise up and wake up, because unfortunately, I think that our Supreme Court today is more interested in making laws the way that they feel idealistically, instead of interpreting the laws on the books and making them to work the way that they're supposed to. I see the Supreme Court as much a part of the uniparty process as the Democrat and Republican parties are. I don't see any true conservatives versus true liberals. I don't see anything on a Supreme Court that tells me today that it's more important to interpret the law fairly and correctly than it is to twist and bend the law to your own political agenda, because you're going to have a 5-4 vote on everything. That tells me that nobody wants to see the other side, even the Supreme Court, and we the people suffer from that. I call it incompetence. Incompetence at every level. So that's just the way it is. And speaking of every level, one quick story, and then we've got to get out of here. We've got a story out by the Conservative Tribune. It's an interesting story because it talks about our good friend, who I think should be criminally indicted myself, current Attorney General Eric Holder. Eric Holder, as far as I'm concerned, is worthless. Has done so many illegal things, abusing the right and will of the people, and abusing the law for his own personal agenda. Well, finally, last week, we got a little bit of traction. Congressman Blake Farenthode out of Texas point blank said in a hearing that Eric Holder should be in jail, and then he walked right out of the room. Senator Ted Cruz also called Eric Holder out for his criminal activities and said he should be impeached immediately. Why is this a story? It's just rhetoric, right? Well, Representative Farenthode, it didn't just say words. He introduced a bill. Representative Farenthode introduced a bill that would cut off the salaries of all those federal officials who have been held in contempt of Congress. You're talking about Lois Lerner? Oh, yeah. And Attorney General Eric Holder. Eric Holder has already been found in contempt of Congress, and he refuses to cooperate with Congress, and though that's his job to do so. So, Representative Farenthold said, hey, look, if you're not going to talk to us, no problem. We're not going to pay you for lying and screwing over the American people. You are now a criminal. You have committed criminal acts. I agree with that. If it's good enough for me as an average citizen, then why isn't it good enough for an elected official or an appointed official? Why is it good enough for them to get away with murder if I go to jail for murder? That's the thing. And I agree with Farenthold's statement. He said the American people should not be footing the bill for employees who stonewall Congress or rewarding government officials' bad behavior. Here's the important thing. He goes on to say that if the average American failed to do his or her job, they would not be rewarded. He's absolutely right. Go to your boss tomorrow. Tell your boss to screw off. You're not going to do your job. And see if he continues paying you. See if you still have an office or a job to go to tomorrow. You don't. Why should that be any different because you happen to work for the government? Why should it? If you can't do your job, if you're too incompetent to do your job, if you're abusing what your job is supposed to be, and you can't do your job equitably, fairly, and competently, if I was your boss, I would fire you. We are Eric Holder's boss. We pay him with our tax money. Just like we pay every congressman, every senator, the president, and millions of federal, state, and local government officials around this country and around the world. And we can't get accountability? That's disturbing. So I'm with Farenthold on that. And I hope something comes of it. We're going to do some more research on that and check it out for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, I'll tell you what, we got to get out of here. It's at the end of the hour. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here, as usual. And we'll go back and forth and around on a few things. We're also going to talk about an interesting internal IRS communication that was brought out that shows direct contact between Lois Lerner and the Department of Justice. Who is that? Oh, yeah, Eric Holder. And how they're getting caught in all their lies. So we've got a lot to go on tomorrow night. We hope to see you here. 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. Don't forget, Thursday night at 7 o'clock with our good friend Dale the Truth and the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. And our good friend Kim Moman is Sunday night at 7 with Liberty Unbridled. In the meantime, folks, we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a great night. Take care. God bless.